Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Home Church. My name's Kenny. I get the honor of serving as one of the pastors here. We've been in a series called Understanding the Story. And as Pastor Grant tried to set us up this morning, so many times, especially in our lives as believers, we know parts of the story of Jesus and his life. But to be honest, many of us don't really understand the fullness of the story. And so that's what we've been doing through this series is we've been going back to the very beginning of the scriptures and we've been teaching you about the entire story of God, what it looks like, what the Bible says about it, and how that applies to our life. So just to quickly give you a recap, I always want to remind you, you can go back and watch and listen to previous messages on our YouTube or on our podcast. And this would be a good series that if you missed any of it to actually go back because it all continues to build on itself. But just to remind you where we've been, we started in Genesis, and we learned that we have a creator God. And this creator God, when he created with intentionality, and everything that he created, he said that it was good. And then he got to the sixth day where he created humans, men and women, Adam and Eve, and ultimately he said not only is that good, he said that it was what? Very good, right? And the point of all that is because this God created us, mankind, in his image, and he did so in the way because he loves us. And the whole idea of the story is that he loves us and he wants to spend an eternity with us. We learned that this God has been forever, eternally existed before he even created, and he will eternally exist even after the end of time, so to speak. And we also said that this story is about some pictures. And there's some pictures that we want you to see that kind of help give you an idea of what the story is all about. We saw it in several places already. We saw that one of the pictures of the story is the picture of a wedding. We even saw in the garden that there was a wedding, and we've seen this idea of a wedding continually show up in the scripture. And when we have a wedding, then we have a marriage. And so this picture and this story is about a wedding and a marriage, Jesus being and God being the groom and we being the bride. And along the way, when you have a wedding and you have a marriage, you start a family. And we talked about how God has started a family. And he started with one man that grew into a family, and then it turned into a nation, right? And that nation is the nation of Israel. Pastor Grant showed us last week how that evolved, where Abraham had a son named Isaac, and then Isaac had a son named Jacob. God turned his name from Jacob to Israel, and that's where we get this nation's name. Israel had 12 sons, and that's where we get the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And all of a sudden, they start to live life. And they did so mostly, when we've learned, in Egypt, because one of those sons, his name was Joseph. God showed him favor, and he used his favor in Egypt to protect God's people in Egypt. But the nation continued to grow, and eventually Pharaoh saw them as a threat, and then he enslaved them. And last week, Pastor Grant talked to us about all of the things that led up to them being freed, parting of the Red Sea. And so I'm going to pick up there really quickly today, and I want to talk to you today about the promises of Passover. So if you'll recall, Pastor Grant mentioned this very briefly, but there were 10 plagues that happened that God put over Egypt, and all of those plagues were God's showing that he was the God over all things. Each of those plagues meant something. And then they led up to this one final plague, the 10th plague. Now, this plague is kind of difficult to talk about, and especially with kids in the room, but it sets us up for where we're going today, okay? And so I want to connect it a little bit like Pastor Grant did around this idea of these birthday parties or these celebrations in a way. And so here's what happens. Right before this final plague, known as the plague of the firstborn, God gives these instructions to his people, okay? Look, it's totally fine. I don't care. I'm going to keep preaching. If y'all just listen, we'll be fine. It's when everybody turns their head over here that, like, that's what distracts me. It's the adults that distract me, not the kids. And so God gives this warning that there's going to be one final plague, and it's going to be the plague of the Passover, meaning that the angel of death would pass over this area, and God gave them instructions on how to protect their child, okay? And he gave them these instructions, and he asked them to start with a meal. He asked them to consecrate themselves. He asked them to take a meal. And a part of that meal was that they were to find an innocent lamb, and from the blood of that lamb to put it around their doorpost. And when the angel of death would pass by, and there was blood over the doorpost, that angel would pass over that house and would keep moving. And that day, we saw millions of children that died that day, sadly. But God's people were spared through the Passover, okay? But in that moment, God gave them a meal and a festival to celebrate. And I want to show you this and how it ties to where we're going over this week, starting of Holy Week. And today really is the beginning of what we call Holy Week. Today is known as Palm Sunday. All right, and when I walked in, someone asked me, are we gonna be burning palm fronds in here today? We're not burning anything with kids around, all right? So God gives them these instructions to get themselves ready for this party. And it's kind of an odd thing to think about because there's going to be death that happens, but yet God asked them to celebrate. That's an interesting thought. And so here's the instructions he gives. I want to give you a moment to get there. This is in Exodus chapter 12. Again, if you have the Home Church app, these scriptures are already loaded up for you. If you don't have the Home Church app, we're going to put the scripture on the screen behind me. If you're watching online, we'll put the scripture at my feet. But this is in Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 14. And as you find your way there, again, these are the last instructions that God gives his people right before this plague is about to happen. And again, we know, thank you to Pastor Grant for teaching us, that after this moment, Pharaoh is finally fed up and he says, okay, you guys can leave. And all of a sudden, Moses leads the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and then God parts the Red Sea and they walk through into freedom. And we know that already, but this part is important for how it ties to what we're celebrating today, Palm Sunday. It is a direct connection, and I want to show it to you today. Okay, so this is a part of the story. You want to understand the story. Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Why does it matter? Well, this is why it matters. Okay, it's all connected. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 14. This is the day you are to commemorate or remember, right? For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Meaning, it is meant to be a joyous occasion. It's meant to be celebrated. It's meant to remind us. And it is an everlasting thing. God says, I want you to keep doing it through the generations. Verse 15, for 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast, and on the first day remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh day must be cut off from Israel. Why is yeast a problem? Yeast is, in essence, it is a representation of sin. And so when God's saying, I want you to remove the yeast, this is the idea of, I want you to remove the sin out of your life as well. Verse 16, on the first day, how many days are they going to celebrate? 7. But on the first day, hold a sacred assembly or a gathering and another one on the seventh day. Okay, so you got that. So they're supposed to have a party, like everybody get together on the first day and everybody get together on the seventh day, right? And then it goes on, do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Verse 17, celebrate, this is important, the festival of unleavened bread. Say, festival of unleavened bread. Say it. Because it was on this day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. So God's saying, again, he's saying to them before it happens, but he's saying, today you are going to leave Egypt, you are going to be delivered, we're going to celebrate that. And he goes on to say, celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread without yeast for the from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. So again, that's seven days. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And anyone, whether foreigner or native born, who eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. That's why it's called the Festival of Unleavened Bread, right? That's the connection. So here we go, verse 21. Then Moses, who was, again, the leader of the nation of Israel at the time, summoned all of the elders of the nation of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the what? Passover lamb. Okay? Again, really quickly. What's going to happen is an angel of death is going to pass by. There has to be blood on a doorpost. God gave them specific instructions that it must be an innocent lamb that must be slain and use that blood to cover the doorpost. That's why it's called the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop. Say that word. Say hyssop. Dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on top and on both sides of the doorframe. None of you shall go out of the door of your houses until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down. So he's saying, when the angel of death comes by, he sees the blood, he's going to keep moving. Verse 24, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants, meaning not just today, but moving forward, okay? When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. So he's saying, in the future, when you get into the promised land, I want you to keep celebrating this. I want you to keep remembering this, just like we have a birthday. Just like even when we turn 50, we're still celebrating our birthday. That's 50 years ago. We're still celebrating it. Verse 26, watch this. This is important. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Parents, grandparents, this is always a part of God's plan that we get an opportunity to tell the next generation, not just what has happened, but why it matters and why it matters to us. This is important. Verse 27, then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. This is what's known as the Festival of Unleavened Bread, or more commonly known to as the Passover. Okay? So, I needed to show that to you, A, because it's a part of where we are in the story, but B, because I need to show you where we're going today, okay? So I'm going to fast forward us all. We're going to hop in a time machine, and we're going to go fast forward 1,500 years, okay? And if you have your Bible, here's how you do that. You don't have, all you got to do is go to John chapter 12. We're going to fast forward 1,500 years, okay? And what's about to happen is we fast forwarded 1,500 years, and for 1,500 years, the nation of Israel has every year stopped for 7 days to remember and celebrate what happened in Egypt when God spared them and ultimately delivered them. Okay? They've been celebrating this for 1,500 years. But all along this time, there is tradition that's built in. Many people would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival together with their family. They would travel from all over the world. Just like, look, I got some friends right here in the back of the room. I know they got family that literally just traveled from a few different states to come and celebrate a birthday this weekend. It's very similar in that way. And so they would travel from all over to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. And here we are 1,500 years later. So generation after generation after generation of God's people who have been born and died and lived and continued on. And we finally get to this moment that you and I know as Palm Sunday. This is the moment 1500 years later, the beginning of their festival of unleavened bread, that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, I have a really good friend in our church who has been begging us to have a donkey. And today, if there was ever a day, today would have been it, okay? But we don't have a donkey, kids. I'm sorry. I had another joke there. If the kids weren't in the room, it would have landed. anyways, okay, so I want you to see this. The festival is about to start. We're in Jerusalem. So many families have gathered together to celebrate this festival of unleavened bread. But there's a buzz in the city because not only is the festival happening, but Jesus has been doing ministry. He's been gaining a lot of attention. There's a lot of buzz around Jesus and his life. Also, Rome is at the top of its peak when it comes to its power. And there's just a lot of political unrest. There's just a lot happening in this moment. And so when Jesus rides in, there are so many things that just click all at the same time. Some of you might would call it coincidence, but the truth is that it is every bit providential prophecy coming to pass, all in this moment. The nation is about to celebrate the festival. They are looking for a savior, and Jesus comes in right in this moment, and watch what it says in John chapter 12, starting in verse 12. John chapter 12, verse 12. I hear some Bibles rustling. I'll give you some time. I love that. John 12, starting in verse 12. Watch this. The next day, the crowd that had come for the festival. Pause. What festival? Yeah, Passover. The festival of unleavened bread. They had come together for the festival. Watch this. Heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, or as they would have said, Hoshana. I want you to say it in the Hebrew. Say, Hoshana. Very good. That means God save now, or deliver. Okay? And then they say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. This is a significant moment. How all of these things line up just at the exact right time is beautiful. I mean, just what? Jesus comes into Jerusalem, just happens to be the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the first day of Passover, just coincidentally. What they're saying is they are expecting for Jesus to save them and deliver them. And so Jesus rides in, and that is the first day of the festival. Now, I want you to flip over to another gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. It's the first book of the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Kids, you guys are doing awesome. Thank y'all. Can we just give it up for our kids? They're doing great. Jesus rides in, and Matthew gives us now this description of what's about to happen, okay? Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 17, it says this. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, does that sound familiar to you? The disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the what? The Passover. Like, just answer this on your head. What are they talking about? They're talking about the meal, right? This celebration. Verse 18, he replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. I'm gonna pause there, okay? So they've started the festival. They've gathered together for a meal known as the Seder. Say the Seder. The Seder is the meal that God told them about, that he wanted them to take and eat together as a remembrance back in the Exodus, right? And so they're about to gather, and every part of that Seder meal has elements to it that is meant to tell the story. It's meant to remind them. It's meant to help them recall what they've been through, both as a person and a people and a nation. Okay? So I want you to see this beautiful moment. 1,500 years ago, God gave instructions to his people to eat a meal and to remember what he was about to do. And now here we are, 1,500 years later, Jesus, God himself, is actually sitting down with his disciples and having this exact same meal, and watch what happens. Because for 1,500 years, they had talked about what had happened, and this meal changes everything, because yet again, God speaks, and he doesn't speak about what has happened, he speaks about what is about to happen, right? And so watch this, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." This is a departure. This is a departure from the meal that they had had for 1,500 years. Jesus is now about to speak into the future like God did 1,500 years ago, that a deliverance is about to happen. And he gives them this, "Take and eat, this is my body." Verse 27, "Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Do you see the beauty of this connection? 1,500 years of having this meal, waiting for a Savior. And finally, here it is. God yet speaks again, not about what has happened in the past, but what's about to happen. And he gives them a foreshadowing of what's gonna happen that night and the next day. Very quickly, that night after they finish eating, they sing a hymn, they go out, and Jesus goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Judas rallies some guards, and they come and they arrest Jesus. They take him to the house of Caiaphas, the leader of the Sanhedrin, and there they put him on a mock trial. That doesn't go so well, so then they take him to Pontius Pilate, where Pontius puts him on a public trial. They accuse him of blasphemy because he claimed that he was God, and there they put him in the opportunity for the people to choose either him or a convicted murderer named Barabbas. And they chose to crucify Jesus in that moment. And there, Pontius turned him over and they took him, and ultimately they beat him beyond recognition. They prepared a cross that he would then carry to the point where he couldn't carry it, and they had to invite a man to help carry it all the way up to the hill of Golgotha. And there, Jesus, they put him up on that cross. They nailed his hands and his feet to that cross, and there he hung naked and he died. And in that moment, he died carrying the weight of your sin and mine. They would then put him in a tomb and leave him for dead. And that's what would happen in these moments. And all of a sudden, all of these promises that these people had had in Jesus, they thought had died right along with him. And I want to show you what then happens while Jesus is on the cross. And I want you to keep in mind all that I've already showed you today, and I want you to see the connection even while Jesus is on the cross. Flip back over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 19, and I'm gonna invite the team to come up and play behind me. I'm almost done. John chapter 19, this is in verse 28. That scene that I just set for you, that I shared, you see it all the way in the scripture, and then here's what it says, John 19, starting in verse 28. "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished," meaning Jesus had paid the price for sin, he had hung on the cross, he had paid for your sin and mine, "and so the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge in it," watch this, "put the sponge on a stalk of" what? Hyssop is mentioned literally three times in the Bible. At the Passover, as a tool to put the blood over the doorframe. David talks about it when he is in mourning. And here Jesus receives a drink from a hyssop plant. It's powerful. It goes on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Or in the Aramaic, tetelestai. With that, he bowed his head, and watch this. This is important, friends. He gave up his spirit. I know so many times we talk about Jesus on the cross and we talk about who killed him. Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Here's the truth of the matter is that Jesus loved you so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was not murdered. Jesus gave up his life for you. Willfully. Verse 31, watch this. Now it was the day of what? Do you notice that that P is capitalized? Now is the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. That Sabbath, oh, by the way, that Sabbath is the sixth day right before the seventh day, which would be known as like the day, like the Passover, the final Passover. But on this prior day, it was known as the preparation day. You'll recall, God told his people that every leader needs to go and they need to get a lamb ready to be slain for their family. And they would start to prepare that lamb on a day called the Day of Preparation or Preparation Day. So I want you to see this beautiful connection. John says that Jesus is the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And here we have the Lamb of God being prepared for the Passover on the day of preparation. Jesus literally was crucified and died like a lamb taken to the slaughter on the day of preparation. I want you to see these connections. Jesus is and was the only ever perfect lamb, truly, to be slain. Jesus was crucified, and just like they would kill a lamb to get it ready for the Passover meal, Jesus would die on the day of preparation. But here's the thing about preparation day. They would take the life of that lamb, but they wouldn't actually eat for a few days later. I don't know if you know the story, but Jesus would lay buried dead in that tomb for 3 days. And then on the third day, also known as the day of Passover, Jesus would be raised to life. Let me connect this for you. The nation of Israel 1,500 years ago would have had a meal, and on the day of preparation, they would have slain an innocent lamb. They would have put its blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would have passed by. They would have been saved. And then because of that, Moses led them out of Egypt and into freedom through the Red Sea. He was their deliverer. And for 1,500 years, the Israel people were waiting on another deliverance, because from that moment on, there would need to be the shedding of innocent blood of an innocent animal from 1,500 years. For the forgiveness of their sin. And here, this moment, Jesus paid the price for their sin, but none of it would really matter until we got to Sunday. There's a reason that we celebrate so greatly on Easter Sunday, otherwise known as Resurrection Sunday. And it's because there have been many people who have claimed to be God. There have been many people who have even died on a cross. And there have been no one yet to raise themselves from the dead except for Christ Jesus. I got news for you, friend. For you Mormons, you can go and you can go to the tomb of Joseph Smith and his body's still in there. For those of you, you're a Buddhist, you're looking for enlightenment, you can go and you can find the body of Buddha still laying in a tomb. For those of you, maybe you're a Muslim, you're looking at Allah in this way and you want to celebrate Muhammad. Muhammad's body is still in that tomb. But if you go to the Garden Tomb just west of Israel, you're going to find a carved out little place and there's a door on it. And on that door it says, "He is not here, for he is risen." And that's what separates him. And here's why it matters. I proclaim it to you today with such fervor in the presence of our children, because this has always been the plan of God. This is a part of the story that we would celebrate, that we would remember. It goes all the way back to Exodus 12. Go back, all the way back to Exodus 12. I'm gonna show you this again and see how you can just connect it. I've already read this to you, but it's gonna make so much more sense now. It's going to connect the story together for you now. All right, I took you 1,500 years into the future to when Jesus walked into Jerusalem. Walk with me back another 1,500 years backwards. 9 plagues have happened. The 10th is about to happen. God institutes this festival for his people to celebrate. And here's what it says. Exodus 12, starting verse 21. "Then Moses summoned all the leaders of Israel and said to them, 'Go at once and select the animals for your family and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on the top and the both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down.'" This connection is all about remembering the story. It's all about remembering the story. So today I want to remind you of the rest of the story. They would gather and they would eat, and their children would ask a question. That's what the Bible said. What does this mean? What does this mean for you? And in the Old Testament, when a child would ask, "What is happening? What about this meal? What is this Passover?" a parent would say to them, "This is because God is going to go before us. He has made a way of deliverance for us. His blood has covered us, and we will walk into freedom." But for you and I, this week leading up to Easter should also cause our children to ask questions. Why do we celebrate Easter? Oh, of course we celebrate a resurrected Savior, but what does it mean to you? And for us, when we celebrate Easter Sunday, for us, it should represent the same exact thing, that Jesus died for us and he paid a price for us and he delivered us out of our sin and into freedom. That's why now, ever since that moment in the upper room, that when believers get together, we celebrate a meal together. You and I call it communion. It's the exact same meal that Jesus had 1,500 years after it was originally instituted. But for you and I as believers in Jesus, it takes on a different meaning, because now it speaks to Jesus delivering us. His body broken for us, his blood poured out for us. And so this week, as we head into Easter, here's my hope, and here's why we're doing this today. Because your kids are in the room. And here in just a moment, you and your family are going to come down and you're gonna take of the supper. You're gonna take of the Lord's Supper. You're gonna receive communion. Our elders are gonna serve you. And your children are gonna come alongside of you and they're gonna watch you. And at some point, they're gonna ask, "What are we doing? Why are we eating bread? Why are we taking of this juice? What does this mean to you? And this week, I pray that you will take the time to celebrate and to remember.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.